podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
But you can't bowl and you can't throw. I'm just telling you what everybody knows. Absolute sins. You put down all the talent that hit you out of the ground. Don't ask what it was, Karen and Joe. So you can't bowl and you can't throw.
In a week where we have almost enough cricket to podcast about, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Director, third umpire, we have a player review for LBW. The original decision is not out. I've checked the front, the feet and they're fair. Can we just go to front, Tom, when available? Thanks. Thank you. That's all I need. I'll go back on field. Rod, you can start with your original decision of not out.
So you are here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke, and that was Chris Gaffney, and he was making one of the fastest DRS decisions in history.
Yep.
Not quite as fast as it might seem from that audio, because we cut out a few seconds of dead air, but not much, only like a couple of seconds.
Yep.
Because that was audio of Bangladesh reviewing a forward defensive shot from Sri Lanka wicketkeeper.
A successful forward defensive shot.
A successful middle of the bat, hit straight to cover by Sri Lanka wicketkeeper Kusil Mendes.
That's what you call a thick edge, right?
A very thick edge, yes. Didn't even check the snicker on that one, just had one look and said, nah, we'll send that one back, I think. So that was, of course, the second test of the Bangladesh-Sri Lanka series, which is the greatest rivalry in world cricket.
It is the greatest rivalry of the minute because there's no other cricket on.
Pretty much.
There's a little bit around. A little bit around, enough to make a podcast about, as we mentioned.
Only just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Sri Lanka went on to make some massive score without a century, right? That's what this series has been famous for.
Yeah, so in this match, Sri Lanka made 531 in their first innings. Their top seven scored 57, 86, 93, 23, 59, 70 and 92 not out.
I hope there was a declaration there.
No, there wasn't.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
And it was the highest team innings without a century in the history of Test cricket.
Huh.
So they went on to win by 192 runs. And they won the series 2-0 because they also won the first test by 300-odd runs. But the highlight of that first test was a bungled attempt for a man cad.
Great.
This was Khaled Ahmed against Kamindu Mendes, so a different Mendes. And Khaled Ahmed ran in to bowl, stopped mid-leap as he was about to deliver it and just tried to flick the ball back onto the stumps. Would have been successful if he'd hit the stumps.
Would have been a good man cad if he'd hit them.
Yes.
But of course he missed them, and of course, you know, hopefully they took a run then, because that would be also glorious.
That would be fantastic.
Particularly when he was backing up so far.
Yeah.
But I think this is yet another argument for more man cads, Dan, because you have to practice them till you're fluent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this guy's clearly never attempted one in his life, and you could tell by
stuffed it up.
Yeah, he's inadequacy at it. Mm. Yes. So yeah, that's a good starting point, but it definitely has to work much, much harder at it. Mm. And when we did end up with Sri Lanka winning the series 2-0, but Bangladesh do maintain their record of being the most daring pace setters in terms of trying anything to get a wicket,
yep.
Particularly against Sri Lanka. So, yeah, they're the team I respect far more.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
A little bit of stuff going on in the world of cricket, and we just have time to cover another tour of Bangladesh.
Yes, everyone's going to Bangladesh.
Everyone.
It's the place to be.
Yeah, the Australian women are going to Bangladesh. Well, they've been in Bangladesh.
Yep.
They're back by now. We didn't really watch very much of this, did we, sadly?
Yeah, it was on YouTube, and when you're of a certain age, YouTube is not your preferred means of watching a TV series.
It's a bit of a flaky way of watching anything, really.
Yeah.
But we did enjoy some of it. The first ODI was the closest to that, the one that we watched a bit of.
Yeah, yeah. And it was close-ish at the beginning. Australia batted first and they were, you know, they lost a few early wickets.
Yes,
they were 4 for 48 at one stage. It was like, oh, what's going on here?
That's right.
Are they going to succumb to the conditions over there? They were 6 for 112 in the 33rd over and game
on.
And then because this Australian women's team is some kind of hydra, they just regenerated and somehow got to 7 for 213.
That's right. They either respawned or perhaps they just hacked the YouTube channel and just with a replay of, I don't know, any random match of Australia that they previously played and won, because that's what it felt like.
Yeah, yeah. So Sutherland got a half century. Alana King just short of a half century after she hit 28 runs off the last five balls of the innings. Yeah. Yes, and then, of course, they bowled Bangladesh out for 95. So that was the closest game of the series. Bangladesh's running between the wickets wasn't particularly brilliant. There were about three runouts, I think, in the middle order, which is not ideal.
Yeah, they need to practice their man cads and their running between the wickets. And, of course, when Australia bat first, you end up with a longer game because did Bangladesh crack 100 in triple figures in any game?
Not in either of the other two ODIs, no. So 95 in the first game, sub 100 in the other two, batting first, of course, which does doom the game to a very early finish.
Yeah, it shouldn't be allowed. Poor sportsmanship from Australia.
Well, I think Healy put them in once and Bangladesh opted to bat first once.
Oh, okay.
So only one of those games was bad sportsmanship from Healy.
Yep.
Yes. They did do slightly better in the T20s, which not quite sure how exactly that works, but they made 426 in the first T20. Which is pretty good.
Getting much better scores in the T20 than the ODI. That's fabulous. Yeah. I fully approve.
Yes. The 126 seemed less good, though, when Healy and Mooney just ran it down. Yeah,
just on their own.
Openers. Yeah. Seven overs to spare, so it just took them 13 overs to get there. But still, good batting performance. So what did Australia do in the second T20 to keep things interesting?
They almost reversed the batting order. Yep. That would have been really good. But Grace Harrison Litchfield opened.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Georgia Wareham at three. Yes. Then Beth Mooney came in for some reason at nine.
Yeah.
I mean,
Healy didn't even bat. She dropped herself down to number 10.
Why on earth? Poor Beth Mooney is going, I'm not batting today. She still had to bat. I mean, come on, guys. Stay in. I can't believe that they actually had that many wickets.
Well, she came in to face one ball, the last ball of the innings, because Farina Trissner took two balls hat-trick. With the third last ball and the second last ball. So she got Perry out, then Molyneux out first ball. So Mooney's just like scrambling her pads on. Just like, bloody hell, you told me I didn't have to bat.
I think she came out without a bat. I think so. Perhaps, yeah.
Because she was out first ball as well to give a hat-trick. So that was very exciting and a little bit random.
So Trissner's left arm fast bowler, right? Yeah, yeah, very exciting stuff. And that's probably the most exciting thing of the ODI and T20 series.
Yes, because in the last game they were bowled out for 78, chasing 6 for 155. So
anyway,
what have we learned from this series?
Nothing new.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, so this episode is sponsored by my other podcast, which is called The Ridiculous Ashes. That's where I join up with Alex Bowden, and we go through historical Ashes series to determine which side is more ridiculous at cricket. Is it Australia or is it England? And we've covered several seasons so far. 97, 2009, 2013, 14, 2013, and 1981.
God, those two teams, they just keep playing Ashes series, don't they?
Over and over again.
Just for your own amusement, you and Alex.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yeah. So while there's no Test cricket on for the next few months, you can probably go back and listen to them, and that will fill in your time.
There's no Ashes until, I don't know, 2026 or something.
Yeah, something like that, 25, 26. So, head to the podcast show of your choice, search for Ridiculous Ashes and subscribe. You can also follow at Ridiculous Ashes on Twitter.
I was approached by a man who I later discovered to be a bookmaker from India. I was fined $10,000 and paid my fine immediately. I realised and accept fully that my actions were naive and stupid. I realised that I was very naive and stupid and stupid and stupid and stupid.
Best intro jingle of all time. It always makes me laugh. Anyway, this is Kat's gambling corner because I'm a big spender.
Yes.
Big gambler. I put on about two or three $1 bets, Dan, just for the purposes of this particular segment.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, one of the reasons Australia were touring in Bangladesh is because there's going to be a T20 World Cup there. There's men's T20 World Cup in June for the entirety of the month of June, and that's in the US and in the West Indies. However, we get the women also playing in a T20 World Cup, and that's in September, October, and it's in Bangladesh.
Yes.
And, of course, Australia are the defending champions. They beat, I think, who was it, South Africa in the final?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's why they're over in Bangladesh practicing, making sure they had enough spinners and enough whatever they needed in order to overcome the hat trick that was inevitable.
Yes.
And hopefully we will get a better stream too, Dan, than YouTube for the World Cup.
You would hope the World Cup will have a better stream.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yes.
So we've got a number of T20 World Cups coming up, and I have, of course, tried to put some bets on these World Cups. And I managed to, I can't put, if I could put a bet on the women's T20 World Cup, I would put a bet on India.
Oh,
who would you put a bet on?
Bangladesh in home conditions. They'll learn from that tour.
Anyway, I can't because, like, I mean, I can bet on the men's Ashes in, as I said, 2025, 26, but I can't bet on the women having a comp in a few months. That will be rectified at some point, I hope.
Hopefully,
At the moment, I'm betting on the men's T20 World Cup.
Mm-hmm. And who have you bet on? Who have you put your hard-earned money on?
Well, I've just looked at the places that are the teams that are playing and the places where they're coming from and where I would like to go and watch cricket in the near future.
Yep.
And so, of course, I've put a bet on the West Indies.
Yes.
You know, I want them to be a powerhouse. They're the home team. Mm-hmm. They've got a reasonable chance. That bet was also 13-1, which is my favourite bet this year.
Especially for a T20 World Cup. I know
anyone can win.
Like, they don't have all their big guns. They're not as good as they were a decade ago when they had their Gales and their. Yeah,
but whoever's. They're better than they were, I don't know, 9 years ago.
Let's hope so.
So I also put a bet on Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to go to Ireland.
What else did you get for Ireland?
251.
For beautiful.
That's only a dollar bet.
Ah, see, you need to put, like, it's going to cost us more than $250 to get to Ireland.
Yeah, it is actually. I should have put bets on the amount for the airfare.
Yep.
Anyway, I'd love to go to Ireland when they end up hosting a wonderful test series in the near future.
Yep.
And I also put a bet on the Netherlands I'd love to go back to the Netherlands to watch cricket.
Sounds good. All right, so how much were on Netherlands? What were their odds?
A dollar. They were the same. 251.
You're right. Excellent.
And so there are a few bets there. And in the meantime, everyone is practicing T20 cricket, right? The men are doing some little tiny warm-up match.
Yeah, they've got their warm-up matches for the T20 World Cup. We're not following those warm-up games particularly closely. Most of them seem to be taking place while we sleep. Although we did track one down and then it had Kevin Peterson shouting at us. So
that's right.
We turned it off pretty quickly.
So those warm-up matches, of course, are called the IPL. Mm. And we will maybe be talking about them for our next podcast because it's probably the only cricket that's on.
Yeah, probably.
Until the county season gets going. I put a bet on also the IPL.
Oh, yeah. Who'd you bet on?
So I'm betting on...
I hope you didn't bet on Glenn Maxwell because he's not doing very well.
No, I didn't. I'm betting on who's going to win the IPL outright.
Mm-hmm.
And that's RCB because it was 13-1.
Oh, there you go. You like the 13-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I guess the only other thing I want to keep an eye out for the IPL is the possibility of this segment coming back.
Secure them jailed.
You do enough jail time to convince anyone this is no setup.
Cut deals that include some jail time?
No jail time.
He's not going to want to hear that you have endangered our operation just to get your thugs out of a little jail time.
So, yes, we do have Justin Langer over there coaching one
What's
of the teams
doing?
In the IPL. He's a coach.
Oh, jeez.
So we'll cast our eye over that perhaps next episode.
Oh, we'll have some JL news for sure.
So
okay.
Looking forward to that one.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
All right, it is time for the Moeller Award, which celebrates excellence and stupidity in cricket in equal measure.
Do you know this podcast has been going for 10 years? Do you think that Scott Moeller is now more famous than Scott Muller?
I hope so. Scott Muller is just fading away slowly but surely.
And
but
being
Scott
converted
Moeller,
into
we're,
Scott Moeller.
Yeah, we're publicising Scott Moeller every week.
Yep.
Well, not every week. Every other week. So it depends how much cricket there is.
And whether we have a Moeller segment.
Exactly.
Anyway, underappreciated acts of cricket. And, you know, this segment is going to make people very cranky because every time we do a very short can't ball, can't throw podcast, like under 20 minutes, and I suspect that's today, we get a few cranky people going, make it longer, for God's sake, you lazy buggers.
Oh, we're going to be well under 20 minutes here.
Okay, so what have you got for your Moeller nomination?
Well, I have a county cricket nomination because county cricket, of course, that's just getting out of bed and stumbling back into action.
Yeah.
And
they're putting the warming heaters on those grounds that are covered in frost and snow
frost
or whatever
and wind
else.
And raining everywhere because it's England. It's still the middle of winter in
England. They're probably in the inside nets getting ready. I mean, all these inside nets that have been neglected through the winter. Everyone's using them and getting warmed up.
Yep. So the highlight of the first few matches of county cricket for the ones who were able to actually get on the field is Sam Northeast, and he hit 335 not out.
Woohoo!
Which is a very excellent score. But technically, I would like to point out that 335 is a lot closer to north-northwest than northeast.
Oh, boom tish.
Yes, but his batting wagon wheel did show shots all around the ground, which is just...
Again, not just northeast.
Just not northeast, yeah. So he's a very humourless man who likes scoring lots of runs. I think if you have a surname that's a compass direction, then you should really just be hitting it in that compass direction.
Mm.
I mean, that made Marcus North famous. And yeah, I think that's something for northeast to work on when he gets tired. Whenever he gets out next, I think he's hit like 500 and something runs without being dismissed since the end of last season. So,
okay,
yeah.
Well, maybe if he hits it to the northeast, maybe that's where the fielder was.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, you've got to be aware of your fielders as well, even if you... And he might be one of these people who doesn't know his left from his right.
Yeah.
His compass direction, yeah. Some people struggle.
Yeah, very confused young man. What other mullers do we have?
We have no other mullers. I have none. So congratulations, Sam Northeast. You have won the muller. Or Sam North Northwest.
Yep.
You have won the muller and you well deserved, even though it was pretty low bar today.
Yeah. So much like this podcast is a pretty low bar, you have been listening to Dan Liebke. I'm at Liebe Cricket on social media platforms. Kat is at Cricket Batcat on social media platforms. And you can also follow us on at Can't Bowl Throw or search for Can't Bowl Can't Throw and you'll track us down. And we will speak to you about the IPL whenever Justin Langer does something stupid.
If I win a bet.
If Kat wins a bet.
Podcast Network.